Let's switch gears a little bit. We're joined by pole vaulter extraordinaire Stacey Traeger, joining us here on Spano and Black. Good morning, Stacey. It's really nice to have you aboard.
Well, thanks for having me. How are you doing?
We're doing just great. Welcome to the Spano and Black Attack. We're at the halfway point between the last Summer Olympiad and this upcoming Summer Olympiad. You know, obviously your competitive days are over, but and you're running a pole vaulting camp. Who do you see as some of the great pole vaulters coming down the line here that really are going to have a say in winning the and getting on that medal podium come 2016 in Rio de Janeiro?
Well, fortunate for us, I still think the U.S. is very strong in medal contention. Jen Schur from New York, you know, won her medal in London, and I think she's still strong and young and fierce to get on the podium again. There's a couple other gals coming up in the United States. Mary Saxer, Kylie Hudson are also, you know, been in the mix for the last couple of years, world championship-wise, and, you know, competing internationally. And that's huge to get that international flair before making that trip to the Olympics to kind of get the bugs out and to know that you can compete at a high level. Like I said, I still feel U.S. is very strong. And, of course, you know, we've got a great collegiate system that's producing amazing athletes right now. A lot of girls are jumping high 14s and, you know, everybody comes out of the woodwork the Olympic year, so it's going to be an interesting feat to see who's going to make the top three to make it to Rio.
You know, Stacey, Joe and I often talk about the passion worldwide that encompasses track and field. But here in the States, it only seems to be, as you said, you know, they come out of the woodwork in the Olympic years. Your vault camp out of Boise is really focusing on youth track and field. Now, all the way down to the, hey, they're really young level, or are you grabbing them more on the high school level and trying to get them and propel them forward from there?
Well, I really feel, you know, the pole vault is such a technical event, and I feel, you know, really young, you're kind of just teaching them some of the basic skills, whether we're doing straight pole jumping into a stand, which is really fun for the kids to kind of get excited about it. But where I really see kids gravitating to it is at the junior high level, that 7th and 8th, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, where they start to have a little bit of upper body strength. They understand more of how to connect that next set of drills to then making clearances over bars. That's where you see these kids' eyes light up, and then they want to continue into high school. And that's such a great feeder program for then me to work with that group for 4 years straight before they go off to college, and then hopefully they go on to a great college program where they can continue to hone in on their skills and possibly, you know, be that next generation, you know, buying for an Olympic quest. So it's super fun. I not only do one in Boise, I've been able to start one in Sacramento near my hometown, and I've been doing one down in San Diego at the Olympic Training Center for the last 5 years. And so all three camps have been really successful, and just to be able to give back to the sport is something that I've really, truly have passion for, and it's been really fun to see that next generation come along.
Those are the dulcet tones of Stacey Dragula joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. One of the pioneers, true pioneers in women's pole vaulting, a 2000 Olympic gold medalist in the Sydney Games, won world championships, and you were probably our first true world-class pole vaulter. And kind of rolling this forward, you know, it's a challenge when you're in a sport like track and field to get ready for the Olympics because of the funding limitations and the limited opportunities to make money. And that's where an organization like Liberty Mutual comes in. And talk about Liberty Mutual Insurance and how they support the Olympic movement and how they help you in the training aspects and how they help the athletes in the getting ready aspects.
Well, actually, I'm with Liberty Mutual today to really thank a lot of their employees for being a part of this partnership and family. Sponsorship is huge. Many people don't know that the U.S. is not funded by our government. We have to go out and find private sponsors, corporate sponsors, to really help us obtain our Olympic dream and our Olympic quest. Without sponsorships, many of us, and probably myself included, would not have been able to fulfill this dream to be able to train at this high level. You know, training takes 5, 6, 7 hours out of your day, and then to have a job to cover expenses, it just doesn't equate. So to have a sponsorship like Liberty Mutual behind us, backing us, so we can have the stress-free, you know, peace of mind that we can go out and train every day is huge. So I'm actually here in Lewiston, Maine to really thank the employees and want them to be a part of the family and the growth going forward into Rio de Janeiro. So it's something that is needed, and it's something that's greatly appreciated.
Stacey, let's talk about that a little bit. As we mentioned, worldwide track and field, the interest stays there pretty much all the time. Why the drop-off in the United States where they can't equate to watching people like you or a sprinter or, you know, our next great distance runner kind of evolve over the four-year period between Olympics?
I don't know. We, as an athlete, I get frustrated as well because I want to see more track and field on TV. I think it's one of our still most purest events that we have. And, you know, when I'm in Europe competing or when I was in Europe competing, I was just amazed at the attendance that was brought to each country. You know, Europe, track and field is the second most watched and most favorite event. And when I come back to the States, we've just, you know, we're down at five, you know, six-tier event. And like I said, it's one of the purest events that I still think is out there. And I just, you know, it comes down to marketing. It comes down to a lot of different, you know, things of an equation. And we just wish that we could get more TV time because then I think more people will be watching it on a yearly, you know, basis instead of just that fourth year, that quad coming out for the Olympics and watching our great athletes perform. So we're out there every day training. You know, there's world championships indoors and outdoors in between each Olympics. And it's not just one year do we fire up and get ready for the Olympics. We're out there every day, and I just wish that it was projected a little bit better through the media here. And that's just something we have to continue to work on.
Well, is that a problem with the marketing, or is it a failing of U.S. track and field to not really go after the networks? Because Lord knows, I mean, with all the sports channels and everything else, they're certainly looking for programming.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit of both, and maybe it comes down to funding. I'm not exactly sure. That's not my job. But I think it's a little bit of both. Like you said, there's tons of channels out there, and maybe we get slotted for that time at like 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., and who's going to be watching track at that time? You know, not me per se, but we need to get a little bit more, you know, prime time coverage so people know that we're out there. And I don't know, I'm a passionate fan of track and field, and I think, like I said, it's still one of the rawest events out there. And to not be able to see it and to let kids see it, we're just missing out because I think kids develop through track and field and then off spray to different sports, and track brings a lot to kids, you know, through discipline and hard work that a lot of things are possible.
You know, I'm inclined to agree. My dad ran track. I've always enjoyed track.
I ran track.
You know, and to see the Milrose game struggle the way it does in this country is a shocking experience. Something that used to take place in the Garden now takes place in an armory. In New York, it's really, really shocking, and I'm amazed that track and field can't keep. I'll just give you one athlete of many as an example before we let you run here. Usain Bolt, he's the world's fastest man. If you see all the attention he got come the Olympics, you can't keep that story periodically in front of people over the course of 4 years. I would think otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
We thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Stacey. We really appreciate it. We know you got a busy day here. We want to keep you on schedule. We think you're spreading a great message and letting people know how good a job Liberty Mutual Insurance does in supporting our Olympians. So keep up the good work, and we will talk to you again between now and the Olympics for sure.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.